listen, this isn't like a horoscope or psychic thing. There are patterns and shadows of patterns inside the Hebrew calendar. If you can understand that, then it helps you plan for your personal life. The pattern of this month is destruction. How do you protect yourself from destruction? This is a time to reflect, as you said, and close doors that may be open to negative things. Bad situation turn in a time for a great witness for Jesus.
In this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast, we're talking about the Hebrew month of Av. Obviously, we had an episode past a couple weeks ago about the dire straits. And so, Rabbi, we're going to talk about the ninth of Av, the entire month of the Hebrew month of Av. But it was one thing we talked about a couple weeks ago, that we had a list of everything that kind of happened historically that was... it's really incredible to see. And so you've got that list. We're going to go over it. In that other episode, we popped it on the screen. But I know we did a very similar episode last year on the ninth of Av for the Hebrew month of Av. And for new people jumping over on YouTube or any of the other platforms, or if they're listening to this, you know, for them, they probably haven't seen or heard that. So if you want to jump in that or anything you've got to kind of kick off this episode, let's just get rolling.
Well, here's the thing. What I really want to say to you is this, is that if you can, listen, this isn't like a horoscope or a psychic thing. It's just that there are patterns and shadows of patterns inside the Hebrew calendar where you see things happen in a cycle. And they happen around the same time. And so if you can understand that, then it helps you plan for your personal life and your goals to grow. So this is in the, all on the same day in the ninth of Av. Okay. The 10 spies bring a report from Moses in the Holy Land. And, that's out of Numbers 14. So you have 10 spies bringing a bad report, 2 bringing a good report. So there has to do with how you see or how you have a mindset. Are you looking at the giants in the land or are you looking at God's promise? Same month, same time, King Nebuchadnezzar destroys the first temple in 586 BC. And on the same day, here it comes, the Romans destroy the second temple on 70 AD. So what are the chances on the same day in the same month that these things happen? So I'm just trying to awaken to you about the cycles, the patterns of the Lord. The Betar fortress was breached and destroyed at the Bar Kokhba revolt at the same time. Roman general Tunius Rufius plowed over the temple once again, another attack on the temple. The Jewish people in York, England, were victims of anti-Semitism and were massacred at 1190, and they were... where they were trapped and murdered all on the same date and the same time. Jewish people were expelled from England in 1290. So this goes into even more modern times. The Jewish people were expelled from Spain in 1490. Germany declared war on Russia. World War I began, leading to the Holocaust on this same ninth of Av in the month of Av. And then the biggest one where Christy and I were at in Israel, the expulsion at Gush Katif in 2005, literally on the ninth of Av, Israeli soldiers removing Jewish people out of Gaza. And so I think there's a pattern here. And the pattern of this was the interference with George W. Bush. And then right after that, we had Katrina. So I think it's worthwhile to be able to just take kind of, let's discuss a little bit of, okay, this is a difficult time. How do I prepare? What do I do? And what can I expect?
Yeah. You know, I think... as you know, I mean, I'll say seasoned Christians, you know, have been in the faith for a while, newer Christians, you know, if they get a hold of this teaching and like, you know, I talk about this in, you know, a ton whenever it hits, and it's usually pretty random, Rabbi, in an episode, and we're just talking, and, you know, it's kind of like a light bulb type of moment, right? That just kind of hits, and I'm like, oh, well, that's unique. And then I start thinking about what just recently happened or whatever season that, you know, I find myself in life. And, you know, getting in tune with the Hebrew calendar, Rabbi, I'm a Southern guy from Alabama that grew up in a very conservative type of church, left that, went more, I guess I'd say, non-denominational, and then coming into this ministry and just observing and getting a copy of the Hebrew calendar, and then obviously we're creating content all the time, right? And like the When New Man Network app has like over 12 courses on the Hebrew calendar in terms of, you know, feast. And I mean, we've got a masterclass on there. And so just producing the content, listening to the content, being engulfed in the content and just the teaching, you know, there's things you pick up. And, you know, I mean, I spoke in the other Dire Straits episode about just writing down, being intentional, testing, right? Not testing in the negative sense, like testing God, but like just testing like the time, right? To prove validity to your faith and like what's going on. But, you know, I think this time, especially as people reflect, they listen, they watch this episode, you know, I would say just really take some time and like reflect, right? Because there's so much going on in your personal life that, and you know, if you want to be honest, you can't even control if you wake up tomorrow morning. You know, like there's very few things you can actually control. And realizing that you're pretty much not in control of anything other than the current thought that you have and the action that you take with it, and you know where you go with that. Like there's a lot of humility that goes into it, but I think a lot of transparency when people can kind of reflect where they are in their lives. And so I would tell people, as you dive more into this teaching, to just be really honest with themselves, right? Because like the spiritual warfare and like what's happening right now, and especially historically, there's a reason why it's happening, right? And like you want to be in the best position possible for your faith, for your family, whatever walk you're going on in your personal life. But like you don't want to move ahead of God, especially right now. I mean, like you definitely want God leading. You want the Holy Spirit active in your life, and you know, for you to have those glasses on where you can actually, you know, see the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit.
Let me do this. I was just thinking, and I agree with what you're saying. Basically, I know people, you're wondering, that the month of Av this year is between July the 26th and August the 24th. So basically, let's say the month of August. So let me, if you were asking me, okay, you're new to the calendar and this is the month of Av, what... Give me like five things you need to do in the month of Av, okay? The first thing you need to do is understand the pattern of this month is destruction. First and Second Temple, starting World War I, leading into Holocaust, World War II, all these different things. So this is a time of destruction. So how do you protect yourself from destruction? Repentance. So this is a month when you say things like, Father God, search me and know me, for I desire truth in my inward parts. This is a time to reflect, as you said, and close doors that may be open to negative things. So this is a month, and I know it's summer, and it's a time like, you know, you're at the beach and the pool and the lake, and I'm all for all of that. But this is also a time when you start, this is a time to reflect and repent. Number two, this is a time to practice listening to the Holy Spirit. This is a time when you need to purposely get some quiet time where you can practice hearing the voice of the Lord and the presence of God. This is a month where you want to cut out the clamor and be able to hear. Second of all, this is a month to wait upon the Lord. This is probably the most important thing I'm going to say about this month. This is a month where do not change plans. Stick to the path. Go down the path that the Lord has given you, and do not turn to the right or the left. Be like a Clydesdale. Put on the blinders. excuse me, and just keep moving forward. This is a month where you need to be very careful to protect your ears. This is a month, be careful to what you're listening to and who you're listening to. In a practical sense, this will be a month where the complainers in your life, who let's say on a scale of 1 to 10 complain, if they're at a 7, they'll be going off the charts to 11 and 12 during the month of off. So protect your ears. I'm really not even joking. And
I know.
Yeah, and don't act impulsively and do not make decisions angry. If you start to get angry, then disengage. If you're in a phone call, you're in a meeting, you're with somebody, a spouse, and it's turning into the anger, you know, you might want to just say, listen, I just need a few minutes. I'll be right back. Like, go to the bathroom or do something, but go count to 10, whatever it is that you do. But understand that this is a month where you don't want to speak out things that can't be unspoken.
Oh, man. That's good, especially for all you married men. It kind of goes along some conversations with me and my buddies, marriage, kids, trying to navigate it. A couple of them have businesses, and you know, it's a season, right? And it's really, really easy to get frustrated with your spouse, with your kids, with just whatever's kind of going on in your life. And Rabbi, I read something recently, had a buddy send it to me. And it's so like, I've been kind of practicing or, you know, trying to do things a little bit different in the morning. And I have found in this past month or so, the amount of times that I've just slept through alarms, skipped the gym, skipped the morning time with God, with scripture, with prayer. It was a point in like this little blog that my buddy sent me that was that yawn that you've got, that's the attack. That's the deception. You're going to buy into the yawn. You're going to hit your alarm multiple times. Mm-hmm. Mine's on my iPhone. And if I hit snooze, it's 9 minutes. And you know, historically, I mean, probably for almost like a decade, I've been waking up like around 3-4, hitting the gym in the morning, 4 or 5 days a week consistently. But this past month, until I read that, and I started thinking a little bit different off why maybe do I have some of this frustration or, you know, tension kind of going on. And it's because I didn't recognize the attack from the enemy. And it's so small and it's so simple. But man, do I have more energy when I go to the gym in the morning. Wow, do I have more connection with my spirituality and like my daily relationship with him when I hit the gym, what I do is hit the gym, I read in my car for 20 plus whatever, like whatever I'm reading, whatever I'm studying, and then I go into the gym with like a just completely clear mind of like what I'm there to do. And that helps with the distraction of the types of, you know, clothing and stuff that you see in the gym, right? So, like, I'm trying to protect my mind. I'm trying to start the day differently. But, man, was that different to think that the attack, recognizing it starts with a yawn sometimes. And I think in this season, to just know that historically things are going to go bad and you got to put yourself in the best position possible, but you also need to take time, because I think the first thing that you had was repentance, right? That you battle the enemy with humility and repentance. And that's a daily thing, right? That like, if you're really honest with yourself, it's not one of those things. I mean, I've talked about it before and it's something I can relate to. You fall in this rinse, repeat, prayer, repentance type thing. You're laying in the bed at night and say, I should probably talk to him real quick. And the next thing you know, you're passed out. And for me, I don't really remember dreams, but I just, you know, I wake up and I was like, okay, it's time to go again. And like, you just get in this cycle of like, there's no actual connection with God, the Father himself. Like, you know, and like that, those are the seasons I find myself, where I'm leading more myself and I've kind of left him behind. And, you know, I have like this picture in my head that's like when I realize that I've done it, then like Jesus is like, hey, I've been waiting for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I figured you'd try to do this again. But like, maybe I'm going to teach you something a little bit different this time, you know, because it's really, I mean, you can't control anything, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just, it's the peace that you get in Jesus, in Yeshua, and especially in this season, you know, like repentance. Like I love that. That's like that's the first thing out of the five that you went with. But you know, I think it's in this season too, is recognizing what the actual attack is. Mm-hmm. And reading that blog, it was like, it's a yawn. I mean, like how simple and small that is, but like the enemy uses that to get you off track.
Yeah. Well, let me unpack something very transparent about repentance, because a lot of times people think like repentance is, Father God, I sinned, I did this, I had this thought, I took this action, I ask you to forgive me. And it is that, but it's not an apology. It's not an apology to God. It has to be heartfelt, to where you actually are experiencing the pain that you're causing God from your behavior. But also, is if you're sinning and you sin and you hurt others, then there can be reconciliation and repentance to them. I'll give you an example. This last week, I severely sprained my ankle. And I was in, for about 5 days, I was in tremendous pain. I mean, pain so bad that at one point I was in the shower and I almost passed out when I was just standing on it in the shower. And I almost fainted, you know. So I'm not making excuses, but I want to set the stage. So I'm hobbling along and I'm dealing with the war in Israel, and I'm dealing with constant phone calls of really horrible, bad stuff. I'm not making excuses. I'm just setting the day, okay? I'm in physical pain. I'm tired. My phone's ringing at 11, 2, 4, 3 in the morning, you know, and what do you want? Because of the time change in Israel. So I've had no sleep. I'm in pain, and a bunch of other little stuff is going wrong. Lots of people that in my sphere are doing stupid the whole day. Okay. My plan was I was just going to fix dinner and eat at home. And I just told Christy, I said, I just can't do it. Let's just go out to eat. So we go to one of my favorite little places. The bad thing about this place is there's no parking. There's never parking. And so sure enough, I get there and there's a parking spot.
Oh.
And I go, oh, praise God. So I start to pull into the parking spot and there's three teenage kids, probably like 15, 16, 17, and they're all going like this. And they're saving the parking spot for their family.
No, you can't do this. You can't do this. Come on.
So that's what they're doing.
What'd you do?
So then I said to them, I said, you know what? It doesn't work that way here. Now, the owner of the restaurant, he's 80 years old. He's my friend. He sees me now, and he knows I'm the rabbi. So he's standing out outside, and it's interesting because there's a huge thunderstorm coming in, you know. That's why he's standing outside. He's trying to figure out how he's going to get people on the covered outside part into the inside. Excuse me. Hope it's okay. I'm telling the story. But anyway, so I just told the kids, I said, listen, it doesn't work this way. I am totally out of patience. So I just pull my car in. Okay.
All right.
And this is a large, lengthy, you know, suburban type car. You know, this is the grandpa station wagon mobile. I can't park this thing just everywhere. And so anyway, I pull in and the kids didn't do anything. So now the conviction hits me. He said, you shouldn't have done that the way you handled it. You were angry. And I was angry that I can't park my car. I just want to go. It was the combination of everything that had happened. I had been up since about 3 a.m. This is eating dinner. It's probably like 8 o'clock at night, you know, finally stopping. And so anyway, the owner of the restaurant's there. He says hi to me. I say hi to him and I go and he saw what I did. So then I get into the restaurant. We get an inside table. I'm sitting inside and across from me is these kids with their family right across. And it's this huge family. Here they are. They're all there. And my wife's not saying anything, but she's not happy. She's not, this wasn't Rabbi, this was Curtis. She's not happy with Curtis. I can tell by the way she's eating, she's not talking much. It's like, man, Curtis, you shouldn't have done that. You know, but it's my background. I come from the city. It's like, you know, I mean, listen, I'm like, you can't do this. So anyway.
I probably would have done the same thing.
Well, anyway, so I'm in there and so I'm getting convicted. I'm eating my food. They're sitting over there. They're not saying anything. And the Lord says to me, he says, okay, now I want you to repent to him. I said, okay. So how do you want me to repent? He says, I want you to buy the whole table key lime pies. So I said, okay. Meanwhile, Kenny that owns the restaurant, Kenny's standing over there. He's over there watching me. I get up. Place is packed because now everybody that was outside is jammed inside because we got like a hurricane winds coming off the beach. And I walked up to the table and I said, I need to apologize to you and your family. And they're all looking. The dad's there. He didn't know about the kids. As soon as the kids told him. But I had my hand on the shoulder of one of the boys that was there. And I said, I really apologize. I said, I shouldn't have handled it the way I did. And I said, it wasn't good in my heart. I said, I'm not making excuses, but you have no idea how bad a day I've had. And I said, my foot is in extreme pain because I was limping. But I said, that's not an excuse. I said, I ask you to forgive me and I know better and I apologize. And I said, but what I want to do is how many of you want a key lime pie? And I said, do you want a key lime? Yeah, I want a key lime. You want a key lime? And so I went around the whole $50 worth of key lime pie going around. And you should have seen Kenny, the owner, the 80-year-old restaurant owner, who's not saved but watches me because I'm in there a lot. And he was just sitting there and he was just shaking his head. He's Cajun, totally from New Orleans, you know, South Louisiana Cajun. He just shaking his head. It set me free. So it wasn't just that I asked them to forgive. I didn't apologize. I asked them to forgive me. So then they're all sitting like that. And one of the young men, the kid, now these are teenager boys, you know, listen, any one of them could have come by and flicked me on the head. I'd have been on the ground. He comes up and gives me a great big hug. He said, sir, that means so much to me. Next one gets up. He goes, sir, thank you, like that. Then the dad gets up and he says, you have no idea what this means to my sons that you did this. And it's like that. Of course, Christy's over there crying, you know. But that's repentance because it brought peace. And then the waitresses and the owner, everybody got to see. So did I screw up? Yeah, I screwed up. It wasn't even what I did. It's just that I was angry and my old nature kind of rose up. And it's like, you know, it wasn't good. So I think in the month of Av, you really have to be on alert for bad stuff like that and not let it happen. But when it does, this is my whole point. Hope I haven't ruined my whole thing. Now you don't want to follow the ministry anymore, but... You know what? God chose me. I'm not perfect. And, you know, when you go to Bible school and stuff, they always tell you, don't be transparent. Don't let them see your weakness and they'll fire you from your church. But everybody knows like what I am and who I am. I'm a work in progress. But the point I'm trying to say to you is that we're just real. And when you fail, ask the Lord. That's what I was whole time sitting there eating my meal. And it's ruining my meal. So now I've had a bad day. Now I'm having a bad meal. My wife's sitting across, probably praying under her tongues, like under the food, going, get Curtis to do something and repent. So I did. And then it turned in, the bad situation turned in a time for a great witness for Jesus. And so I think repentance is more than just words. Let it be action. Let it be deeds.
Man, that's good. You know, I know you, and I know something was coming along. Oh, I didn't think key lime pie, but you know, I think that's a really good reminder to everyone to be honest, humility, you know, being convicted, you know, like truly convicted. And I think all those people seeing Jesus from you, right? I mean, like the owner not being saved, but like can see Jesus from your action and how you handled something and kind of work through it. You know, I really believe leading people to salvation in Jesus, at least through what I've seen in terms of like religion and how a lot of people, a lot of Christians try to do it, is I always go back to it's like if you're going to be a friend to somebody, it takes time to build that relationship, right? It takes a long time. And the most effective ways that I've seen people in my life that I, you know, would pray for and like I'm good buddies with or good friends with, it could be good, you know, it could be people in my family. The only way that I've actually seen Jesus take them over and like them get convicted and, you know, like actually receive salvation is by seeing it over a period of time out of me. More times than not, because they definitely see me not show Jesus in the way I've acted, spoke, reacted to things. But they saw enough over time that like they wanted a little piece of it, and I wasn't aggressive with it. You know, if they'd ask, we talk, we dive into spiritual stuff, you know, like theological stuff, biblical stuff. But I. You know, and maybe it works for other people to like kind of share the gospel differently. I've just always done it relationally. And, you know, from those situations and those people that are now living with a king and like really trying to do it and do it daily with them, their feedback to me was just they saw enough in me that convicted them over time because like they wanted what was different in my life to be in their life. And I'd encourage people to take that story you shared and, you know, just think about it. I mean, just because you messed up here and you're upset doesn't mean you can't quickly turn it around. Right. But like what the key thing was that you brought in the story was that the day was rough. There was attacks from the enemy, physical, spiritually, right? I mean, there's things everywhere attacking you. You did something what I'd probably do, especially in that area of how many people. I mean, it's tough to travel and to park. Like,
yeah, there's no parking. And here's the thing is too, the owner of the restaurant and the staff there has known my family, my whole family, for 3 years. They've watched us. They know who we are. They know what we do. I'll tell you the favor we had. I literally was there one night when it was like that, and they have a little bit of grass in the front. And he went like this to me, and I was pulling in, and then I was going to turn around and go someplace else and eat. He came out to the car and said, no. He said, you need to eat here. He said, park on the grass. And he literally had me park on the grass. And then here I am ruining the whole thing with this stupid, you know, L.A. Curtis attitude of, you know what, don't be blocking this parking spot. And it was a lesson for me. It was a lesson for them. But it's a lesson for all of us that, you know, what the enemy meant for bad, repentance is a gift to the repenter and the ones you're repenting to. So don't I try my best to be obedient and live a righteous life. But I never try to sell myself. I don't change my sonship of who I am in Christ Jesus because I mess up. That's not negotiable. I don't let the enemy do that. But the only way to renew your soul when you sin is to repent. And the month of Av is all about repentance, talking to God, knowing that this is a month where triggers are going to be pushed, and try to remove the source of the triggers.
Man, that's good. Well, I'm going to leave everybody with this. If you have topics, anything that you kind of want us to dive into here on the Kurt Landry podcast, do us a favor, drop those comments now into the chat. Our team's going to go back, look at them. What I love to do is to get the team together and pull these comments, pull these topics. We give them to our team, and we try to fit them in wherever we can. And so I want to encourage you, if you're listening, jump over there as well. Drop your comments to that. You know, we definitely are looking for different stuff that is affecting you and stuff that Rabbi Kurt can really pray into, speak into, teach into. So do us a favor for that. Also, if you're on YouTube, do us a favor and hit that subscribe button.
Yeah, please subscribe.
we always ask you. It's free to do. All that's going to do is just make sure that you're going to get those notifications for daily and weekly spiritual content. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. We'll see you next week.